First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Let's get you started with some headlines that you need to know. PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, has been declared League One champions after the Professional Football League, LFP, in France confirmed that the 2019-20 League One and League Two seasons have ended at this point. So there was some hope that they tried to figure out a way to bring it back, but it looks like that's not going to happen. And PSG, as a result, will be crowned as champions. Next up in your headlines, Wake Forest has reached a deal with East Tennessee State's Steve Forbes to become the Demon Deacons' next head coach. Sources told ESPN Forbes will replace Danny Manning, who was fired on Saturday after six seasons at the helm that were regrettable. Wake Forest never finished above 500 in the ACC. Manning had a 14-42 conference record over the past three seasons. Last year, the Deacons went 13-18 overall, 6-14 in the ACC, finishing in a tie for last place in the conference. Now we get the heated battle between Wake Forest and their former coach as to whether or not they're going to pay him. And lastly, Bengals won't be paying Andy Dalton this season. He was released by the Cincinnati Bengals in a move that doesn't surprise many. Dalton's only 32, led Cincinnati to the playoffs five times, though the playoffs lost the wild card each round each time. He is the franchise career's leader in touchdown passes. As a result of that, we've been talking to you about it all day. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, asking you, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What do you think is next for Andy Dalton? Where do you think he is headed? I'll take your take on it. At Jason Fitz is a way you can also get involved on Twitter, as you can take a look at there and give us your thoughts on all things Andy Dalton. In fact, we'll take a little bit of take right now. James in Florida, what's your take on Andy Dalton?
Well, at this point, you don't know what Roethlisberger is going to be like when he comes back. He's coming back from a bad injury to his throwing arm. He may not even start the season, and if he doesn't, Dalton's going to be better than any option that they have, as proven last year. They barely missed the playoffs with quarterbacks who could barely make the ball down the field. At this point, a starting quarterback caliber would have gotten them in the playoffs or even further at this point.
Yeah, I love everything about that take. You're right. I mean, they made it through the season last year despite their quarterbacks. And let's be real, with playoff expansion, the Steelers would have made the playoffs with a four-string quarterback. So why not protect yourself? I mean, that's the word that Mike Golic Sr. used this morning on Golic and Wingo. You know, when talking about Jameis Winston, $1 million to protect yourself at quarterback is always worth it. So if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you can bring in somebody you have tremendous familiarity with because of the fact that you played against Andy Dalton, why not? And for Andy Dalton, you don't lose face by being Big Ben's backup if it turns out he's not healthy, or if he's turns out he's healthy. But if he's not healthy, you could get the opportunity to play with tremendous weapons all around you. Hayden in Tennessee, what's your take on Andy Dalton?
Honestly, I got to say that in my opinion, also Jason, I'm a huge fan of yours. I'm a musician and a radio host as well, so I really like getting to hear you every day. To be honest, I think that the Patriots would be the best option for Andy Dalton if he was willing to take the pay cut. If he's willing to take a pay cut and, you know, be willing to play for Bill Belichick with the whole mindset of this is a Super Bowl winning coach, a dynasty coach, that's what I think would be the best option. However, if he's fine with being a backup, go sit behind Big Ben for a little while, make sure that he's healthy, and maybe learn from him and get better with Mike Tomlin.
You know, the pay cut element, and thanks for your take on it, is, and thanks for the kind words. I really appreciate it. The pay cut element on it is interesting because you never want to make presumptions on another man's money or another human's money. I get that. But Andy Dalton's made a bunch of it. So he's got to make a decision now, depending on what his situation is, as to how he wants to move forward. Taking a pay cut to go into a New England system could be an opportunity for him to sort of right the ship. We'll keep taking your take on it. What's next for Andy Dalton? But I want to get to some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And that comes in the form of Lewis Riddick joining Max and Stephen A. today as we continue the conversation about Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. Stephen A., Max, and Lewis debated Dak and who has the leverage in this situation.
This is an old-fashioned, well, I shouldn't say old-fashioned. This is in a lesson in leverage. And when you have it, you may only have it a few times in your career, but if you do have it, you recognize you have it. And in the case of Dak Prescott, he recognizes he has it. You wield it, you use it, you exercise it, whatever verb you want to put on it. That's what you do. And Dak is in no hurry. Dak has until July the 15th. The Dallas Cowboys have until July the 15th. This is a situation where he understands exactly where he has Dallas. And to make a deal, remember, it takes two to tango. And we don't know exactly what Dak is asking for, but my guess would be this. If I'm sitting there and I'm Dak Prescott and I'm looking at the backup quarterbacks on my roster and I'm looking at the landscape with which I am negotiating in right now and the fact that we're not getting together anytime soon. I'm not going to, you know, I don't need to show up for any OTAs or mini camps. I don't have to do anything. I'm sitting pat and I'm telling my representation, let's just hold because you know what? I'm going to take the Max Kellerman approach. They will fold because they have nowhere else to go. They have nowhere else to turn. And look how this team is set up. Do you really think they want to do, have done all this work to get this team to where it's gotten to and they're not going to pay me? They're going to risk me not showing up. They're going to risk their new head coach, Mike McCarthy, not having me. They're not going to do it. And you know what? They're going to give me the terms I want. They're going to give me a shorter deal. They're going to let me get another crack at this sooner rather than later as far as coming back to the negotiating table and cashing in again. So if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm telling you what, I don't care if I'm Dak Prescott, and with that, whatever business it is, we know this. We know that our job when you're negotiating on behalf of yourself is maximize cash to me. I'm not worried about your cap. I'm not worried about what kind of strain this puts you under. I'm talking about maximizing cash to me. And if I'm Dak, I'm sitting back just like this, and I'm waiting. And I'm going to get everything I can get out of this deal.
Well, Lewis Riddick, first things first, let me say this to you, buddy. That's a mighty fine outfit you got right there, the tie and everything like that. You're not looking like Mr. Chippendales today. I appreciate that. That's number one. Number two. I think it's important. I'd love to tell you that I reckon you're right, but I'm going to challenge that in this particular sequence. I am not debating the reality that the Dallas Cowboys are going to retain the services of Dak Prescott. We know that, but there is such a thing as that male ego. I mean, Molly speaks to the Molly knows this. Every woman on the planet knows this about the male ego because the bottom line is that's the number one thing that gets in our way. And when you take into consideration the male ego and that male ego is permeating this situation to the point where Jerry Jones, knowing he's not getting any younger, more dust is being collected by that birth certificate. And you got your son, Stephen Jones, right there echoing as to use Max Kellerman's words. Parrot in that speech you so eloquently disseminate to the masses, we can't ignore the reality of the kind of impact that could potentially have on your quarterback. If you remember years ago, the Dallas Cowboys had won a Super Bowl, and they decided to negotiate hardball tactics with Emmitt Smith, that great, great former running back for the Dallas Cowboys. And they lost those first two games of the season. And then Jimmy Johnson came up there and was in front of the press, and he was just speechless. And then they finally signed Emmitt Smith, and he showed up to that press conference looking ultra ticked off at that Jerry Jones because he says, of all the people you're going to choose to play hardball with, it's gonna be me. He was appalled. He was disgusted. And I couldn't blame him. And when you look at Dak Prescott right now, at some point in time, you gotta worry about the reality that your quarterback might sit there knowing he's gonna get his money now, knowing he's gonna get paid, knowing he's gonna make considerably more than the $2.1 million he made last season. He's gonna sit up there and say, you made me wait. All these people you took care of and you left me dangling in the wind. Now, we constantly bring up exes, ex relationships and stuff like that. When you got that kind of stuff in your brain and in your heart and in your soul, particularly when you're in Texas, there's going to be a price that's going to be paid at some point. You mark my words. You mark my words.
That's some straight talk wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. Let's get a little Cowboys expertise. And look, there's nobody better at our network than covering the Cowboys than Will Cain. You can check out the Will Cain show right after us every single day. Will Cain joins the show right now. Will, what is, like, I'm trying to make sense of how this is so complicated at this point, because Dak is obviously a very good quarterback. The Cowboys obviously reward very good players with contracts. So what's the complication?
Timing, length of contract. That's the bottom line. That's what this is about. The Cowboys want to do a 5-year deal and Dak Prescott wants to do a 4-year deal. So let's unpack that for a moment, Jason. Throughout the past year, I think people have assumed the wrong motivation on this from jump. They have said the Cowboys aren't sold on Dak Prescott. They want to see more from Dak Prescott. They don't want to pay Dak Prescott. All of that's false. It's 100% fake news. We know for a fact the Cowboys have offered Dak somewhere around $32, $33 million a year. And we've heard reports that Dak wants $40 million a year. That sounds like two things. A team sold on a quarterback and a quarterback who thinks very highly of himself and is comfortable betting on himself. He just went into a contract year where he made what? I don't even remember what Dak made this past year, but it was, I believe, among the bottom for starters in the NFL. And it's clear that what Dak wants to do is bet on himself again. He wants to get back to the market sooner rather than later. I actually like that quality from Dak Prescott.
Well, and Will, you make a great point, because let's acknowledge that whatever contract length they agree to, you can almost immediately tack an extra year on if you're the team, because you know you can franchise somebody. So you leave yourself the open end at the end of all of this. I mean, it makes sense for Dak to look at it and say, I want to get back to the market sooner. So at some point, how does this all resolve?
I don't know. That sounds right now like it's at a loggerheads, because it's not the kind of thing you can find a happy medium on, right? If your difference is $3 million a year, if you're negotiating between $38 and $35 million a year, I think both parties generally come to a compromise. There's no compromise between 4 and 5 years. So probably what has to happen is one of the two parties has to feel pain and cave. I don't know what that pain is, man, and I don't know who will cave, but I do think a deal will get done. I do think Dak Prescott will be the franchise quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys for the next 4 to 5 years.
I mean, if you're the Cowboys, you've got him under the franchise tag. So the other thing that's confusing to me is I hear so many people say that Dak has leverage. I don't see how that's possible when the Cowboys can frankly franchise him this year and next year if they choose to. I mean, yes, that might destroy the relationship, but they have a couple of full seasons before they have to worry about any ramifications.
But on Dak's side of the leverage, the Cowboys don't want a quarterback who's going to sit out. And let's have this conversation almost in a bubble, an unrealistic bubble at this point, where the coronavirus isn't changing our daily life as it is anyway. But Dak has the leverage of not being in the building, not being in training camp, not learning Mike McCarthy's offense. And that's got to be a scary proposition for the Cowboys. You're right. They can keep him on the roster for the next 2 years, but they'd like to keep him learning and performing at his highest level. And that requires getting him under contract.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. We're talking to Will Cain of The Will Cain Show, which you can check out right after we're done today and every single day. So let's switch gears a little bit. Stick with the Cowboys, though. Will, I'm not just saying this because you're on with me. You know, I'd say this either way. CeeDee Lamb is going to be dynamic and incredible for the Cowboys. So what was your level of ticker tape parade that you were willing to throw after the draft?
Well, that's big coming from you. I know, because you have a long history of doubting Dallas Cowboy receivers. You and I have had plenty of hallway conversations about Amari Cooper, and I think I've won most of those as time has proven.
Time will tell. A little bit. You paid him $20
million. CeeDee Lamb, I am so excited about. Man, that's going to the store and buying a luxury item, not a necessity. And sometimes you need to treat yourself. You know, sometimes you need to go ahead and double down on a strength, and I like it. I just don't know how defenses are going to stop the Cowboys' offense. It's going to be Team 40 Burger. There might be some defensive issues, but let's see if you can put up enough to keep up with the Cowboys. And everybody says, oh, you need a defensive back. You need somebody to edge rush. Your offense was already number one in the league. How much better could you get? I give you the Kansas City Chiefs. I give you a team that continuously doubled down on offense, and I know made some adjustments and made some moves to make their defense better during their Super Bowl year, but make no mistake, it was a team built on we can't have enough offense, and it did work out for them. Before everybody gets super mad and before you try to make it a rebuttal, Jason, I'm not saying Dak is Patrick Mahomes, but I am saying this is a dynamic offense in Dallas. Good luck keeping up with the points they score.
Will, I'm actually not going to be a contrarian this time for once. I mean, I think if you just look at that roster on paper, top to bottom, and you gave most GMs in the NFL the opportunity to train their entire roster for the Cowboys' entire roster, the Cowboys would win that. They have a better roster than most teams. I think it's fair to say that if you are a Cowboys fan right now listening to the show, you believe that the liability was coaching. If they fix that liability, should the expectation not be a Super Bowl? I think the Cowboys are being undersold as a Super Bowl contender this year.
Thank you. I feel the same way. The thing that's been holding the Cowboys back is without a doubt coaching. That front office has been good, by the way, and I don't think fully recognized for how good it's been in free agency, in the trade market, and in the draft. It has been simply the Jason Garrett head coaching staff and tenure that has held the Cowboys back. I don't know if Mike McCarthy is the guy to push them over the hump. I think he might be. I hope he might be. And I know he has everything at his disposal to be that guy.
We're talking to Will Cain of the Will Cain Show. So let me switch gears again. The big news today, Andy Dalton no longer with the Bengals. I don't know if that's a huge shock to most people, Will, but it's got me fired up because I feel like we've lumped Andy Dalton into the category of liability at quarterback. I'm not willing to do that. So what do you think the next best step is for Andy Dalton?
I'm totally with you. I'm all into value investing. I read books about Warren Buffett. I love his approach to the stock market and to business. I love the idea of buying low and selling high. And when the crowd thinks a certain thing, there must be value in the other direction. And I think Andy Dalton is undervalued. I'm not telling you he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, but we treat him as though he's not even worthy of a start. And that's not true. Andy Dalton is better than that. And he's better than some starting quarterbacks out there. Now, here's the thing, Jason. I'm sure you agree on this. So was Cam Newton. And so was Jameis Winston. That didn't guarantee them starting jobs in the NFL. And I love what Jameis chose to do. I think Jameis showed belief in himself, an investment in himself, and I think Jameis will come out of this next year of education, a Harvard education in quarterback play, as he described it, with a market ready to pay him real money. I think Jameis will be somebody's franchise quarterback 1 year from now. Not just starter, but franchise quarterback. I think this year, Andy Dalton makes almost too much sense to the Patriots. I think Andy Dalton, I can't say this for a fact because I don't know him. Maybe you've met him, Jason. I have not. But from a distance, he seems like a guy who has the one trait that a Bill Belichick quarterback would need to have, and that is humility. You got to be able to sit in the film room. You got to be able to take crap. You got to have the total destruction of your game on video in front of the entire team in order to make everyone better. I kind of think Andy Dalton can be that guy and be a competent quarterback, which you add those things together, and that adds up to wins in New England.
I love it. Well, Will, I can't believe this. We just agreed on basically everything. This is a rare moment. If we were in the same hallway right now, we would hug for a very long time, but unfortunately we can't do that. So thank you so much for the time. Check out the Will Cain Show coming on after us. As always, Will, you're the best, man.
Love it, man. Thank you.
Look at that. Will Cain and I agreeing on almost everything. And he's right. We've had our fair share of heated debates about particular wide receivers. But all of this Andy Dalton conversation comes back. And I think Will just said it smartly. Humility matters at this point. We're going to get a real sense of direction for the Patriots. We already got a sense of direction for the Patriots in the NFL draft. But I would challenge this. When you look at the Patriots in the NFL draft, one thing that's important to keep in mind is that they were judging second-tier quarterbacks against Jarrett Stidham. Now, Jarrett Stidham at one point was expected to be great for Auburn. That didn't necessarily happen his last year there. There's a lot of reasons for that. They have Jarrett Stidham in the room. They're around him all the time. They are comfortable with who Jarrett Stidham is. But they were also being asked to evaluate Jarrett Stidham against players that are not ready to start in the NFL right now. They were asked to judge Jarrett Stidham against the Jordan Loves or the Jalen Hurts or the Jacob Eason's or the Jake Fromm's. You're asking to judge somebody that they have in the building versus the if come, the possibility that somebody that's not great but could be okay is a better solution. I can easily compartmentalize in my mind why the Patriots didn't look at that as a great situation. This is much different. You have something with Andy Dalton that I personally value. You have proof of concept. Talk about it all the time. Proof of concept matters when you talk about the quarterback position particularly. And I'm sorry, as much as Bengals fans want to make it out that he's awful, let's remember, taking Cincinnati to the playoffs 5 times is something. All right, winning when you have the right weapons around you is what most NFL quarterbacks try to do. Andy Dalton has had success in the NFL, and he's had it at a pretty good level. That in and of itself is playoff concept, or proof of concept, for somebody that has 3 Pro Bowls and 5 playoff appearances out of Cincinnati. That is better than what we've seen from Jarrett Stidham. We'll find out now how confident the Patriots truly are in their quarterback room. I'm confident in you guys, by the way, to check out the All In Challenge fundraising initiative. It continues to offer incredible sports experiences to bid on and enter to win, and it's all to support organizations providing food to those in need, particularly kids, the elderly, and frontline workers. There's some incredible enter to win opportunities closing tomorrow that you got to check out. There's a chance to throw out a first pitch at the next World Series, or the chance to sign a 1-day contract with the Dallas Mavericks for a preseason game, and there's even the opportunity to design and call a play at an Eagles preseason game. Love all of that. You can enter to win these experiences, and 100% of the money raised will benefit organizations providing food to those in need. Again, if you get there and you look at the auction page and you think, man, I can't afford this, that's okay. Enter to win is just like a raffle. You can go out there, buy raffle tickets, get entered to win, and you can make a difference while you do it. So if you want to participate or learn more about how these organizations can help, visit allinchallenge.com. That's allinchallenge.com. I want to keep taking your take. Where does Andy Dalton end up and why? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plus, coming up, how good would Michael Jordan be in today's NBA? You'll hear what First Take Talk thought about that. And my one theory on why the Bulls of today could never make it. You'll hear all that next. Plus, it's time for some Straight Talk. The big wireless carriers try to wow you with big deals, but the savings, very little. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get the exact same network as the big guys while saving up to 50%. Right now, you can get the unlimited plan with up to 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. No contract, no mystery fees, all with nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable networks. That's Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. More Straight Talk from you guys coming next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. We're taking your take, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Where's Andy Dalton headed and why? Al in Pennsylvania, love it when you call, Al. What do you think for Andy Dalton?
Hey, Jason, thanks for taking my call. I really don't know where he's going to end up, but I know where I'd like to see him end up, and that would be with the Baltimore Ravens. And I figure their only backup right now, I guess, is RG3. And I think Andy Dalton said he would be satisfied with taking a backup role. And I just want to see the Ravens get better just to because I dislike the Steelers and their whole organization so much. I want to make sure the Ravens stay a much better team than the Steelers, because I couldn't
Al,
stand
I
to
love
see the Steelers win.
I love the honesty, Al. The honesty on that one is spectacular. But I wonder about the system fit, you know, because you've got a quarterback and a backup that are very similar in the way they play the game. I don't know that Andy Dalton could go in and run the same offense. So it feels tough to me. But I love the honesty on being anti-Steelers with it and that being the reason. Eric in Tennessee, what's your take on Andy Dalton?
Yeah, what's going on, Jason? Good afternoon to you. I just think he ends up going to a team like the Washington Redskins because – I used to be stationed in that area, and I can tell you that the people in Washington, they just want a solid, good quarterback. And Dwayne Haskins might be the future, but no one knows how good he's going to be right now. So even if Dalton is an interim starter or maybe just a really good mentor, that just doesn't exist anymore. I mean, what other backup out there can sit behind Haskins and help him become a better quarterback? And there's just no one else out there. Andy Dalton is probably the best choice.
Well, first and foremost, thanks for your service. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. You know, I'm not sure where Ron Rivera is. I like the take only because I'm with you. We haven't heard much about Dwayne Haskins, but I continue to say that Ron Rivera likely didn't take that job going. I just can't imagine that the interview went like this with Dan Snyder. Hey, that quarterback you love so much that you made sure that he was selected in the first round, I'm out on him. And then they found some way to come to an agreement. So I feel like Ron Rivera quietly is bigger on Dwayne Haskins than we give him credit for being, but I do like the take. I think he'd be a good fit there. I just don't know that they're willing to take that risk. Jeremy in Tennessee, what's your take on Andy Dalton?
What do you think about Miami Dolphins, man? He's better than Fitzpatrick.
He is better than Fitzpatrick, but Fitzpatrick knows the offense, but I could see the Miami Dolphins as a move that makes a lot of sense. I mean, he is better than Fitzpatrick, and if he's willing to go somewhere where he's going to get 1 year, that's part of the reason I'm surprised he's not staying in Cincinnati, and I understand the number is big on him, but let's acknowledge the fact that in this pandemic, we have no idea when the rookies are actually going to get time on the field. So if there's any question about the health of Tua, or if there's any question about how much time they want to give Tua to acclimate, why not go to Miami where you are surrounded by players that hopefully you can have a little bit of success with? You know that you're going to bridge the gap and you can sort of fix your reputation. Love it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the conversation with your take on where Andy Dalton is headed. We'll take more of your take in just a second. But David Falk was on with everybody today with Max and Stephen A. talking about how many points Michael Jordan would score in today's NBA.
I watch a lot of NBA games, as you know, and, you know, the game evolves. And Michael, because he's such a class act, completely steers away from trying to compare himself to LeBron or Kobe or anybody else. He said, that's for the fans to do. But if you ask me, watching all these games with virtually zero defense, no hand checking, I think if Jordan played today, if he was in his prime, in today's rules, I think he'd average between 50 and 60 a game. I think he shoots 75. He shoots 75% from the floor. If you couldn't hand check him, yeah, he'd be completely unstoppable.
It's an interesting point about the hand checking, but you also have to look at the shots and where they were generated from. Michael Jordan generated so many shots, and some of the advanced metrics have shown this of late if you've seen them out on Twitter. So many of his jump shots were mid-range jump shots, little floaters, and that's just not a part of the NBA game that exists anymore. So it would be curious to see how he would get around through that sort of moment and adjust his game, but if there's anything we know, Michael Jordan would adjust his game. Here's the part of it, though, that we're not talking about. I mean, when you look at this Bulls team, and I've been asked so much from radio stations across the country that when I talk to them every week, they've asked me what my takeaway is on all things Last Dance. And my biggest takeaway on the Last Dance is, frankly, that social media would have crushed this team. We talk so much about the success of one player or the other player in different eras. Well, let's talk about just dealing with life in different eras. Can you imagine the way social media would have reacted? For example, I said after the first couple of episodes to the Golden State Warriors front office deciding they didn't want to keep the Golden State Warriors together. That in and of itself would have been massive. But think about what we've learned through the documentary so far. Scottie Pippen had so many issues about his contract and the way he was being treated. He delayed his surgery because he felt like, frankly, he didn't want to be inconvenienced. We saw that. We saw the tumultuous relationship with Jerry Krause. We've already seen how tired Michael Jordan got talking about all of these issues just to local press conference guys, right? Then you look on top of that to a superstar player that in the middle of the season just walks away to take a vacation in Vegas. Think of how that would have been covered today. And Carmen Electra was not just a star. She was a superstar in that era. So he goes to Vegas with his superstar girlfriend. What would Twitter have done in that world? On top of all of that, you have Phil Jackson, who was told coming into the season he could go undefeated and it wouldn't be enough to keep his job. I mean, the way the NBA news cycle has changed and the way we cover the sport has changed to the point that what we're really interested in is the drama off the court. And it's interesting night in and night out. But when you talk about guys like Kevin Durant and how they've reacted to a social media era, it's only fair to say, as we continue to analyze whose body would have been able to perform in which era and whose game would have translated, what we really should be asking is whose head could have translated, who mentally could have handled the scrutiny that would have come from that team with those personalities and that drama in today's NBA coverage world. I don't believe that Bulls team could have handled it. Look, it was already ripping them apart at their fabric. You could already see the way that they were getting tired of answering the questions. You could already see how it was wearing down on the guys on the court. You can see the effect that it was happening in a world where they were being protected and insulated by local media. What happens when Twitter suddenly gives everybody false confidence, when Twitter gives some people a false platform, and when Twitter doesn't stop asking questions? The right question here to ask is, could that 90s Bulls dynasty have survived 2020 media coverage? And to me, the answer to that is clear. It's no. And the shame in all of it is we have to at least acknowledge that what that means is we're probably being denied some level of a very cool NBA today because of the way we cover it. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. We're taking your take on where we think Andy Dalton is going. Don't forget, tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Now we're going to get the Horace Grant drama. We're just getting another layer of that drama. Listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. You don't want to miss that. They do a great job of getting you updated on it. I want your take. Where's Andy Dalton headed and why? Let's go to Johnny in Ohio. Johnny, what's your take on the next stop for Andy Dalton?
I'd say he goes to Jacksonville. They got Jay Gruden, the offensive coordinator, you know, formerly of Cincinnati. And I think he's got a shot to beat out Gardner Minshew for the starting job.
Look, that's actually smart. Jay Gruden, for anybody that doesn't know, was with Andy Dalton in Cincinnati, and now Jay Gruden is the offensive coordinator in Jacksonville. You guys can chime in, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If Jacksonville makes no attempt at Andy Dalton, then they are sending us a clear message. And that clear message is that they are ready to tank for Trevor. Trevor Lawrence is likely to be the first pick overall in the draft next year, barring anything catastrophic like we saw this year, God forbid. Right? Trevor Lawrence is likely to be the first pick out of Clemson. He is somebody that frankly would have been the top quarterback pick the last couple of years if he had the ability to come out. People have been infatuated with Trevor Lawrence. If the Jags make no attempt at Andy Dalton or Cam Newton, if they go in with an uncontested Gardner Minshew as their starting quarterback, what are they telling you? They are telling you flat out that they are ready to tank, they are ready to stink, and they're ready to take whatever comes with it. You know, you have to look at it from the Jags standpoint. What do they have to lose from tanking? I mean, the fan base is already irritated at best with the team, right? So if you know that you're going to get very little equity outside of the sort of commercial small blip that you get from Minshew Mania, outside of that, what would really make the Jags relevant? What would really make the Jags relevant, not just in Jacksonville, but also in London when they play over there? I don't know. How about having the top pick in the draft and a superstar quarterback coming out of the gates? The type of quarterback that you can sell season tickets for. I mean, that's the message that the Jags are sending. If Andy Dalton is not at least reached out to, then the Jags are telling you quite clearly that they're really ready to phone it in. And that tells me that Yannick Ngakoue, who's been vocal about wanting a trade, will finally get it. And the Jags will go all in on one mission, losing games as often as possible. I want more of your take. What's next for Andy Dalton? Mike in Florida. Mike, what do you got for Andy Dalton?
Hey, big fan of the show, by the way.
Thanks, man.
I think he's going to the Steelers. I think that with Roethlisberger getting hurt as much as he does, I think that Dalton would be a nice backup spot. I'm a Steelers fan myself, and I really don't believe in Rudolph, and I don't believe in Hodges. I think that Roethlisberger, if he can stay healthy, he's a really dynamic quarterback. But as a backup spot, I think Dalton's not a bad choice.
Look, everything you just said makes a lot of sense. It's flat out irresponsible for the Pittsburgh Steelers to go into this season at quarterback with only Big Ben and the options they had last year. I will say it again. The Steelers almost made the playoffs with hot garbage at quarterback, right? We all accept that. The Steelers had terrible quarterback play, and they almost made the playoffs. When you start to think about almost making the playoffs with the quarterbacks they had, and in an expanded playoff world, they would have been the seventh seed. There's an extra team this year. The Steelers have a legit chance of being a playoff team, and it all hinges on a surgically repaired Ben Roethlisberger that we haven't gotten to see anything from yet. I mean, how could they possibly, for a smart organization, not consider the future at quarterback or at least protecting themselves? Protection. How much would Andy Dalton cost? Whatever it is, it's worth it because we know that those contracts aren't high and we know that Andy Dalton would get the opportunity to sit in Pittsburgh. If he's not starting, who cares? He's not going to get faulted for it because, frankly, he won't get faulted for sitting behind Ben. Nobody will fault him for that. But if he does start, if he gets some opportunity, he'd have tremendous weapons around him. That has value to me. The weapons around him would give him the opportunity to show people that he can still play. I want more of your take on Andy Dalton. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plus, will Jameis Winston get another chance to be a starting quarterback in the NFL? You'll hear what the First Take crew thinks next. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves.
Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80, the ESPN app. We're all over the place. I'm Jason Fitz. If you missed the second hour of today's show, go check it out on demand in the First Take, Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checkings or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, NA member FDIC. Some really smart conversation in there on Dak Prescott with Will Cain. Will Cain and I actually agreed on a bunch of things. So at the very least, that is reason enough to go check out the podcast. Will Cain and I on the same page. I'm taking your take, and you guys want to chime in on Andy Dalton. So we're going to blow up the rest of the show and let you do that. Where's Andy Dalton going to end up and why? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Chance in Arizona. What do you got? What's your take on Andy Dalton?
Hey, just wanted to say I'm a big fan of the show, first off.
Thanks.
I believe he's going to go to Carolina because they, Will Greer had his stint last year and he was just not very good. So I think with Bridgewater being the starter, have a veteran presence behind him because he has been kind of injury prone. So I think that's a good fit for him.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything on that take. Look, there's a lot of good fits for Andy Dalton. The question is, where can he learn a little bit, like we've all talked about Jameis Winston? But most importantly to me, for Andy Dalton, where can he rehab his entire image at this point? Dave in Arizona, what's your Andy Dalton take?
Hey, Jason, how you doing today, man? I want to say originally I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. Big fan of the Bengals, of course, being from there. First thing I want to say is forget that nonsense about Andy going to the Steelers, man. And speaking for all Bengals fans, like that previous caller had said before about him going to the Steelers, we would be all but hurt if that ever happened. So I don't even want to hear that talk right now about that. In regards to Andy leaving Cincinnati, I'm not sure where he's going to go exactly, but I do want to say, man, that guy is a solid, consistent player. Not only has he been a solid, consistent player for the city, he's been a great representative. He started a foundation, a number of charitable organizations, and wherever he's going, they are going to get a classic dude, and will be a great loss for the city of Cincinnati and a great representative of the city wherever he'll end up.
Well, that's all a glowing part of Andy Dalton, right? And thanks for your take on it. And I'm unfortunately for you guys, I feel like the Steelers make a lot of sense. So this might be one of those moments that the Bengals fan base doesn't have a lot of choice on. Bill in Georgia, what do you got as your take on Andy Dalton?
Hey, Jason, just want to say a big fan. Appreciate you taking the time. But I feel like Andy Dalton would be a great fit for the Cleveland Browns. I think there's too much talent on that team not to have a solid backup in case Baker Mayfield has another season like he did last season.
The Browns are an interesting take on it. I hadn't thought of it. Thanks for your take on it. Just because you're right. I mean, I keep saying I think the Browns have more talent than we give them credit for. So, but, you know, I'm not sure, though, the quarterback position in Baker Mayfield should, at least in theory, be more locked up than it is for Pittsburgh. So I still think I like going to the Steelers as a backup better than going to the Browns as a backup. Alex in Texas, what do you got? What's your take on Andy Dalton?
Jason, all these guys with the Steelers, the Browns, the Dolphins, this doesn't make sense, man. I'm here in Dallas-Fort Worth. I'm in Grapevine, Texas. The best situation for the Cowboys would be to bring in Andy Dalton. He's a TCU guy. He's a local guy. He'll get a lot of shine and a lot of love. And you need to push Dak Prescott to the table. You need to let him know that the backup that's here now, who we wouldn't dare put in, is going to be upgraded. And now you need to come to the table with the deal we want you to have. If you're Andy Dalton, you're in an area again where you came from in TCU, and you know you're going to get love, And you might get a real opportunity if Dak Prescott holds out and people won't be pushing back on you like in these other markets everybody's bringing up. So Dak Prescott will get pushed to the table by Andy Dalton coming into the fold, and they'll upgrade his backup position. I see a win-win there for both parties involved, other than Dak Prescott as the third party getting pushed, and he may be out of his own offense.
Look, I love the fire on that take. I'll say this. I never thought about the holdout as opportunity. And if we do believe there's going to be a holdout, it's a good opportunity for Andy Dalton to get out and show what he can do with, as I said earlier, a roster I think is Super Bowl caliber. So you got a lot of weapons on the offensive side of the ball for Andy Dalton or Cam Newton. I'll say this again. Cam Newton's a better quarterback than Andy Dalton. We all know that. And I understand that Andy Dalton might not be a world beater to many people, but let's acknowledge the good of Andy Dalton. When you're talking about five playoff appearances for the Cincinnati Bengals, keep in mind, Phillip Rivers only took the Chargers to the playoffs six times. Andy Dalton took the Bengals to the playoffs five. I'm not saying Andy Dalton is a world beater, but when you take the Bengals to five playoff appearances and you make three Pro Bowls, you're not the trash quarterback that everyone's making him sound like he is right now. Let's accept the fact that some quarterbacks in the middle of the pack might not be great. They might not be Patrick Mahomes. They might not be Aaron Rodgers, but they're still good enough to win you games. That's Andy Dalton. Don't let the Bengals portion of Andy Dalton jade you on who he is as a quarterback. More coming up. What's next for Andy Dalton? Will Cain will be talking about it. Thanks for listening to First Take Your Take. I'm Jason Fitz.